Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam my deen. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Youth Station. I'm Muzaffar.
And I am Zainab. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, everyone.
Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Welcome to the show.
It's the month of Ramadan. Are you starting to feel
Was that the yet? Sigh of relief or the sigh of someone saying me I'm dying?
Allahu alam. I don't know. That's the scariest part about it.
I personally am legit dying.
You're dying?
Legit. Hands down.
I think in a philosophical way of things, we're all dying. There is a part of us which is continuously dying. Imam Ali alayhi salam says that every breath you take is a step towards death. So yes, death is inevitable.
Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Today we're going to be talking about how our life schedule and our routine changes during Ramadan, especially in Islamic countries. Because, well, I think we talked about it in another show that when we're living in non-Islamic countries, nothing changes. As a matter of fact, it becomes even more demanding because everyone else is just living their lives non-Islamically. And we are here like starving ourselves. Mm. Everyone is just going on the fast pace because they're, you know, they get to eat their avocado. And I'm here just being really hungry and lightheaded. But then it changes in Islamic country because there's that sympathy. Everyone's fasting. Everyone's hungry.
Yeah, I mean, it's really beautiful. It's the first time I've ever experienced it here in Iran,
Serious?
Actually. Because I've
How do you like it so far?
It's different.
Good different. Alhamdulillah.
The thing is, I never get homesick and I never miss my family. Sorry, that sounds really bad. That sounds like I'm a terrible person. Wherever I am, I just kind of live in that moment. I'm that kind of person. I miss my mom sometimes.
Sometimes you got misty-eyed all over again.
When I get sick.
Yeah, me too.
But when the month of Ramadan comes, I miss my family like crazy. Because you always used to have that iftar and that suhoor.
True. I haven't fasted with my family for years now. I miss my mom's cooking so much. But that's besides the point. I hope all of our moms are blessed. For those who've lost their moms, I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives their sins. And for those who still have their moms, guys, eat more of your mom's biryani, seriously. Yeah. All right, so how does your life change during Ramadan?
So basically, you're not going to be eating or drinking in the day.
And a lot of other things too.
So we already discussed this. That should not be the immediate thing that we think of. I guess there's a spiritual boost. There is a spiritual high that you feel where you do feel more connected to Allah.
You do? Is that like while you're fasting or after you've broken your fast and you've done the iftitah and you've done your Isha and now you want to sit down for that one juz of Quran and you're like, oh, you're so psyched to be talking to your Lord.
See, in the month of Ramadan, you know that you're going to be worshipping Allah if you're sleeping.
Around the clock, that's beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, so you just kind of holistically feel like, I'm good.
I'm the boss.
I'm getting to Jannah.
Yeah, so it's, I think, exactly what you said. You're constantly doing an act of worship. And that's what you get from being like, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this is the month of the feast of Allah, Allah's banquet, basically. And when he's hosting you, he's constantly serving you goodies. And we constantly think that goodies are like finger food and small little like salami sandwiches. But in God's case, it's the exact opposite.
And little, you know those mini hot dogs that you get on cocktail sticks?
Yeah. I like those.
Yeah. And I've really become a fan of Iranian Halim.
I like that too.
There's an Indo-Pak Halim, which like is amazing. It's like spicy and hot. And
then there is...
meaty.
Anyway. But then the routine changes.
Okay, so coming back to the routine. So the routine changes because in Muslim countries...
You know how people are always saying, like, after the holy month, right? It's like already it's the 17th of Shawwal, which is the month after Ramadan in the lunar calendar. And they're like, oh, my sleeping schedule is still based on Ramadan. Mm-hmm. Because, like, usually you don't get enough sleep during the night or you don't sleep at all, especially, like, in the summer because the nights are shorter. And, like, by the time you've broken your fast, you want to do your Isha, you want to do your Iftitah, you want to recite the Quran, and you're like, ugh, two more hours, I have to wake up, so I'll just stay awake.
Look, I am just so glad, alhamdulillah, that my exams are over and I don't have to go to madrasa.
Amen,
which means that,
that
I can pretty much wake up
whenever you want. 45 minutes to Maghrib?
Not whenever I want.
Tell me you don't wake up 45 minutes to Maghrib. You look like the kind of person that you
do. I don't even wish that, because I don't know if you've noticed, it makes you feel really depressed waking up before Maghrib. Mm. And I've heard that it's makruh. And I think this might be one of the reasons. It psychologically just disturbs you.
Yeah.
When you wake up just before Maghrib and...
You don't even know what planet you're on anymore.
Yeah, you just feel like this weird kind of daze. And I guess that does happen maybe once or twice in the month of Ramadan. Mm. And maybe for others it happens a lot more. I hate that feeling.
Yeah.
I'd rather just be awake and hungry.
Do you sleep in during the day a lot? Does that happen?
I don't know. My schedule's a little bit different, isn't it? Because I'm working and stuff, so I'm busy there.
That's wonderful, though. Because I actually had, like, a friend tell me that he had an experience, like, three months of Ramadan throughout 3 years. And then he experienced it doing it with office work, hard labor, and just doing none. Mm. And he said that the year that he had to do hard labor, the Ramadan just went like that.
Hard labor?
Yeah, because he was so occupied.
Like he was picking up boxes and stuff?
Yeah, outside of the house,
right?
And it was like his body and mind were occupied, and it wasn't so focused on hunger anymore, which is really not the point of Ramadan.
Sister, that used to happen to me back in the day when I used to go to school. Mm-hmm. You know, I think because you're with your friends and you're just, you know, playing around and you're playing jokes on the teacher or whatever you do at school, and time does fly. But nowadays, when I'm fasting and I'm at work, I'm just like forcing myself to work, and I just can't through those last few like minutes or hours.
I think another reason behind that is that we don't exercise. As children, we were really, really active, and
that's true. Yeah,
yeah, we don't exercise, so our bodies are just like. Right? So I'm not saying that, wham, start exercising during the holy month, because that's not going to work either. But it's a good idea to start exercising somewhere around Rajab, like a month before the holy month of Ramadan. And then during the month of Ramadan, we wouldn't feel like too languid and fatigue all the time.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree.
So yeah, exercise, we should definitely fit that into our schedule.
So how does your routine change?
Drastically. I personally, before I discovered Sawir, I would have to sleep in during the entire day, especially since I stopped school. Like, I wouldn't take any work, I wouldn't take any shows, except for these like early hours in the day where I haven't slept yet since the day before. I might be able to because I'm not hungry yet. I'm not feeling faint yet. But after that, during the day, oh my God, it would be horrible. So I really couldn't process anymore.
Right. So you're completely like kind of free in the month of Ramadan?
Basically from work. It's just actually a good thing. You know, it has pros and cons to it.
But
the good thing is that, yeah, you know, I have a lot of free time on my hand, which I can use that time to contemplate on things that I usually don't have time for throughout the hustle and bustle of the day. I pick up new positive hobbies and reciting more of the Holy Quran. I think it's a good thing. But then the getting back to on my sleep pattern, sleeping schedule after that is like not so fun.
I dream about not having anything to do and having complete free time. I don't know what I'd do with that. I guess I'd do a painting or something. I'm waiting to go to Jannah, inshallah, so I can do a really nice painting.
Aww.
Is that weird? You know, so I just have all this free time, and then you can just, you know, sit and contemplate about Allah.
Maybe you can do this holy month. You should start.
No, I've got work to do. I've got studies to do, even though I'm not going to class.
To class anymore, exactly.
I'm not going to class, yeah, but I still got work to do, right? Most people won't find time off, even if they're in Muslim countries. They're all going to be busy, and it's better to be busy.
It is. It makes
you're doing the right thing because you're finding these new hobbies and stuff, and I am learning new skills.
Usually, throughout the year, I'm a total workaholic. So having the chance to just ease down a little and spend more time with myself and my creator is a really good thing.
Alhamdulillah.
A question that I want to ask that I think a lot of women go through too. Moms don't have changes in schedules because they're working around the clock
munchkin,
right?
I haven't
even
thought about that. I don't know how my wife is going to... This is going to be our first Ramadan together.
Good luck, bro. Good luck. That's all I have to say.
I don't know how she's going to do it because I'm going to be outside. I'm going to be active. I'm going to be, you know, busy with work and stuff. My mind's going to be occupied. She's going to have that daughter of ours screaming and crying and pooping and other things that babies do.
Exactly.
How is she going to do that?
Exactly.
God bless all these mothers out there.
Yeah.
Like, how do they do it?
Mm-hmm.
Subhanallah.
Exactly. So that's another thing that I wanted to talk about. Everyone gets to change their schedule somehow to work around their fasting, except moms, because they have to work around their fasting around their kids. So if their kids don't have to fast yet, they still have to cook. If their kids have to go to school, they still have to stay up and work with the homework. Mm-hmm. If their kids are toddlers and decide not to sleep all day, all night, which happens very often, you've seen it, they have to stay up with the little munchkin. So
mothers are amazing.
Exactly.
And you know what? That just brings me back to the beginning of the show. I miss my mom.
I'm sorry I brought that up.
Who should I take good care of? Giving all my love. Who should I think the most of? After Allah and Rasulullah comes your mother. Who next? Your mother. Who next? Your mother. And then your father.
It's going like that exactly. Do we have any more of those?
Have you found that the Islamic countries are more like, more understanding of your fasting state? I mean, you've experienced working in both sides of the world during the Holy Month.
Okay, so in the West, there is little to no understanding. I mean, you're just expected to get on with it. Okay, you're fasting. That's not my problem, especially in the corporate world. It's just like, hey, you know, I don't care if you're fasting.
True. They don't even care if your father died.
Yeah, they don't have that compassion, I guess.
Sad.
In Iran, I mean, everybody's fasting. You feel like the city is fasting with you, especially here in the holy city of Qom. It's beautiful. It's like you're not just fasting, and you're like in the West, you'll have yourself and your family or a little community that's fasting, and the rest of the world isn't. But here, it's like everybody is fasting.
Yeah.
And then you see that one guy who's not fasting for whatever reason.
Everyone looks at him.
Everybody
weird.
Looks at him like, what do you think you're doing? And then he pulls out like a doctor's note. He's like, eh.
So, yeah, there's that. But, and you know, the fact that you say that just brought me back to that. We were discussing this on one of the shows, that fasting brings unity and solidarity. Yeah. So that's legit what's happening here. You know, everyone understands the other person's hunger, the other person's fatigue, the other person's thirst. And that's the point of fasting as well.
You're like a family.
Exactly.
You're like a big, big family.
Beautiful. You humble yourself, first of all. Second of all, it helps you develop sympathy for other human beings. I think we're out of time.
If you have any thoughts on the discussion that we've had today, and we hope that you've enjoyed it, do email us at englishradio@irib.ir. That's englishradio@irib.ir. And Ramadan Kareem to all of our listeners.
Ramadan Kareem, guys, and especially to the mamas. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that, inshallah, in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Precious love in my life. Now I know how. How amazing it feels to love you. I wish that everyone could see how your love has set me free. Set me free and made me strong.